Now, it's the Mike Calta Show.
It is the Mike Calta Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. In the studio with us now. I was trying to figure this out. Do you realize we have known each other? I can tell you exactly how long because I met you the day after I got married. You'd been on the show before, but I'd met you the day after I got married. You were playing in Ybor City, and it was the first time I ever saw Bert. And that was the first time that I really got to see you guys and meet you guys. And then over the years, you and I have had a very up and down relationship.
How many years?
Yeah, how many years?
It has been three. It was 2003.
So we've known each other
18 years.
18 years.
It'll be 18 years in March.
We've been friends 8.
Yeah. Jay Moore is in the studio with us. Jay, I will tell you, I was thinking about it this morning. The first time I had you on the show was on the phone. It was on a radio tour. I don't even remember what you were promoting. I think it might have been Last Comic Standing. And you and I was always the first person that they would put on. It would start at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and I was the first person. And I didn't know how the radio tours worked, so I would just go as long as I'd want to go. And you and I talked for 45 minutes, and they had to cancel the rest of the radio tour because everything was all backed up.
Well, you're worthy of it.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know how it worked, and you and I got along really well. And then over the years, you had some legendary Opie and Anthony appearances, and I became a huge fan. And you had been on this show. Then we didn't like each other for a little while. Then we talked it out like men, and then you sent me roses, and we've been in love ever since.
I'll tell you this though, Mike, I never didn't like you. It was like a one-sided thing.
I don't think you knew. Pull that mic right in front of your mouth there.
Hi, everybody, we're live at Sawgrass.
I don't think you knew me. I think you didn't like the idea. Sometimes of you didn't like some of the things that you like, because I remember Ralphie. First, it was a Ralphie. You were like, "That's where we had our first fight."
Hey, player.
Yeah. Anyway, the good news is that for years we've been friends now.
Yeah, man.
And your last appearance on this show was legendary, and things have changed drastically since then.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm back to being a jerk.
You could let me talk about anything, so you went to rehab?
Yeah, March 11th there was a intervention for me. I was addicted to Adderall, speed.
Yeah.
Hookers.
Yeah.
I was a mess.
The last time you were on the show, you said to me, I gotta tell you, I've been doing this a long time. Your last interview on the show would probably, I go up there with my most honest interview ever. You said to me the words, I don't care anymore because I have no sex drive. I have no interest. You were getting a divorce. You were just, you could tell you were at the lowest place.
That was before I went headlong into addiction.
Yeah. See, I saw no signs of Adderall or any of that stuff. I don't know that stuff. But
so after that, after my divorce, I had this gaping wound in my soul. Because, you know, look, nobody gets married to get divorced. You get married because you're certain it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
For a guy,
this is my girl.
You're like, we have that fear of, well, what if I get divorced? I lose half my things. I visit my kid. You go, no, but this one, it can't happen.
Right.
And then it happens, and then your identity is what? Because I was in such a codependent relationship and a toxic marriage, and I've been told, like, through shrinks, an abusive marriage.
Yeah.
That after that was gone, it's like, well, I used to have a driveway. Now I'm living in an apartment with my son half the time. And it was just like a big gaping thing. And then I started dabbling with like Adderall to stay. I just wanted to feel people. I always hear people say they use drugs because they didn't want to feel anything. I use drugs because I wanted to feel something.
Yeah. And that's how you seem. Last time you're here, you seem like you were just.
I was dead inside.
Yeah.
I was crippled with sadness.
Yeah.
But so I was really grateful that you and I had the life preserver thrown our way.
Yeah.
By whatever powers it be. Our own, you know, just better selves. And then bottom line is, to make a long story short, I was really addicted to Adderall, like probably 200 milligrams a day.
And so how many is that? I don't do any.
Probably 8 pills.
Okay.
Nah, 240.
Yeah.
Like a big Adderall is 30 milligrams.
I'm sorry. I'm irresponsible. This is Skyler.
I apologize. Yeah, Skyler is a buddy of mine. I travel with sober people.
Yeah.
To keep.
You probably have to, at least at this stage.
I choose to.
But, I mean, it's a smart move, right?
It's got to be because I'm doing this by the book.
Yeah.
I'm not effing around. I see too many guys dropping like flies. Like when you're in rehab, you get these guys that speak at rehab, and they'll be like, only two of you guys out of the 20 are going to make it. And you're like, this guy's out of his mind. And guess what?
Yeah.
Me and him are the two.
Yeah. Even Dr. Drew's people are dying. You know, they had the TV show, and then they get out there and they die. I mean, it shows you how hard it is.
Skyler's a really great comedian. He's a great impressionist, and he was at my intervention, and I've known him a long time. We did a lot of Vicodin together. We tried to sell TV shows high on Vicodin, and we wonder why they didn't buy the show.
Who started the intervention?
My agent, Matt Frost.
Oh, really?
My best friend.
Yeah.
He's my best friend who became my agent, not my agent who's my best friend.
No, I know.
Transactional.
Yeah.
He told me at my intervention, he said, I was at the Tempe Improv, and I was such a mess. He couldn't book me anymore, he said. And this is my dude. Like, we played traveling baseball together in high school.
Yeah.
And he said he wasn't going to book me anymore because in Tempe, at the Improv, I was such a mess. I was on stage shuffling around. I was all sweaty, missing teeth. These are all new. And the audience filled out comment cards and said they were watching a fallen star, and I was a bum. And that scared me, Mike, because I thought the weekend went great.
You're right. You're unaware of everything.
I made 14 grand and spent two nights with a hooker named Meow Meow. And I don't know if that's her Christian name. I'm sure her driver's license says something different, like Angela Meow.
Yeah.
Meow Smith. Donna Meow Abramowitz.
What's with the teeth? Drug related or no?
Just don't brush your teeth. You just hide all the time.
Out. Yeah.
We do a little Michael Douglas.
Me and my wife, Catherine, Father Kirk, just had a 63rd stroke. Thinks I'm a banana right now. Keeps trying to unpeel me and take a bite.
That's all. Vince Vaughn?
Baby, I'll tell you right now, we're at the Calta show right now in Florida, and it's a good time. You know what I'm talking about? I've heard all about this guy from Ralphie, from you, from everybody. Living up to his name. He's got hulas up here. It's a great time over here.
All right, wait in the car now. Thank you.
As I think about it, I was thinking about the other day, Ralphie. And I was wondering, because you and I, one of the things we had an argument about was going on the cruise. Lana didn't want Ralphie to go on the cruise. You and I talked on the phone. You were like, he's going to die on the cruise. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm literally on the ship right now. None of us do drugs. None of us wanted this guy to do drugs. We're not. I didn't really understand what was going on. And I think back now and I wonder, with the amount of time I spent with him and the amount that he trusted me, if there was something I could have possibly have done for Ralphie. Because I was honest with him. I talked to him about him. Yeah.
You were his friend. You loved him. They call it the three C's. You didn't cause it. You're not going to control it. And you ain't going to cure it.
But I wonder if sometimes, like Matt, Matt was your guy. So when Matt comes to you and says, you got to get your act together, maybe somebody that you trust saying that to you. Because you know how it goes. When you have hanger-oners, people don't want to lose that relationship that they have. They don't want to lose that connection to the celebrity, so they're afraid to say something. I didn't view Ralphie like that. Ralphie was my friend. I didn't care after a while. His fame didn't do anything for me. You know what I mean?
Of course not.
Yeah, I just love the fact that we're two fat idiots. we had the best time together.
He was pulling most of the weight in the fat department.
Now me and Bobby Kelly are two fat idiots.
You know what, dude? Here's the thing. Like, I reached my bottom. My bottom was stand-up. It says in the big book of AA, your bottom's the thing you realize that's more important to you than your addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And when stand-up comedy was taken away from me and it was no longer an option, that scared the hell out of me.
Because
what am I going to get a job?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to work at Home Depot.
Yeah.
Or as they say down here, Home Depot. H-O-N-D-I-P-O. Home Depot. Hey, what about Home Depot? Oh, caro. So, yeah, and I have no skills other than comedy.
Yeah.
So, like, you and Ralphie, that's not a bottom for Ralphie. Ralphie would have just moved on and satellited with another radio guy.
Yeah.
And just how addicts work, I'm speaking for myself, would have just trash-talked you, and then anybody you meet will just agree with you. And that's what confounds me about, like, arguments. The other person knows they're right. Like, my ex-wife has a story where I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And I can sleep at night. And she can sleep at night. It, like you and any of your exes, Skyler.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's just craziness.
Yeah, I don't know your ex-wife at all. I think I've talked to her one time. But you were definitely blinded by that relationship.
I love her. It's just, it's not fair to her to speak, if she's not here.
I don't want to trash her. I'm just saying, but what I could see is that you were definitely, when you get, sometimes you see your friend gets whipped over a girl, and you're like, hey, how could you let this happen? But when you're whipped over a girl, you're whipped over a girl.
It happens slowly over time, and that becomes reality. But you know what? Right now, my girlfriend now is, like, just the best.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Most guys that have a great relationship, that falls apart, they have to build back up to get something good. You just went straight to the top. You just went right to the top of a relationship, guy. You are, Jay Moore is dating the most powerful woman in Los Angeles right now.
In Los Angeles?
Well, yeah. My bad. My bad.
Condoleezza Rice giving her a seat on the bus. Like, oh, excuse me, Jeannie, you can have a seat.
How do you meet Jeannie? How does that come out? Did you know her before and you guys were friends? Or how
no,
did that
I,
work?
When I was doing my radio, when I was doing, I was just talking to Skyler about how freaking lucky I am. It's ridiculous. When I was doing my radio show, she was a guest. And I was interviewing her on the phone, and I was just, I don't know how to explain it. I like, kind of had super feels for her, just her voice. I knew she was hot.
Right.
But I was like,
yeah, you connect with somebody.
I know this person. Well, you just know, like, if you're a dom, I'm not, this is not in regards to me and my girlfriend, but if you're a dom, you identify.
Yeah.
If you're in the club and you need drugs, you just identify the drug dealer.
Right.
You're like, I know this person, and I, then I asked her to be on my podcast, and I walked out of my house on July 3rd. I got out of my house July 4th because I had to make sure there was nothing physical. And I was at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and she came to the hotel to do my podcast. And she walked off the elevator, and I just – everything went to slow motion. Mm. I remember the elevator, the carpeting. She's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And we were just like little kids, like falling in love, like giggling at stupid jokes and stuff and like cuddling and all these neat little things that had been missing from my life. And it's still that way. We're like more in love now than we ever were.
When you see them together, you see it. It's like there's like.
Well, I've seen even in pictures. You could tell that it's a good. They look happy together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it also is probably hard for her. Because a woman in her position, for those people who don't know, she owns the Lakers. For a woman in her position, she's filled with fake people in her whole life. And guys, she has to question every guy that wants to go out with her. They go after money, they go after status, you know. Even rich guys want a richer or more powerful person. With you, if you have that connection right there, she feels safe with that.
Mike, there's no reason we're still together because I gave her every exit available with my drug use and my lies. Not knowing where my whereabouts is, worrying I'm going to be dead, have a stroke or something. It's like she was riding. I was like a bad bicycle with two flat tires, and the handlebars kept coming off. And everybody around her was like, get a new bike. You're going to hurt yourself. And she's like crashing into walls and scraping her knees on the cement going, I like this bike.
Did she say anything to you about it? Does she acknowledge that you have? Does she know? Does she? Because
everyone knew. I was doing step work this morning, like writing out like humiliating things about my addiction. And I'm like, I just told you this morning, Scott. Yeah. Like, there's nothing more humiliating than an intervention. Everybody, the closest people to you that you think you're fooling, gather as one and say, you never fooled us.
Yeah.
That's humiliating.
But do you also get a feeling, I always see them on TV and think about it and stuff. Also, I would think that after the anger is gone, there's got to be a tremendous feeling that all these people love me so much that they came together to try and help me. I would think that's the big takeaway.
If I can say, I've been to several interventions. I've never seen someone do what Jay did. 16 minutes into his intervention, he literally goes, hey, just real quick, you can read all these letters. You can go through everything. I'm going. And he had tears in his eyes. I'm going.
You have to feel like these people care. If you wondered who loves you,
I'm going to address
you know.
That. I'm going to answer your question, and I have something interesting about that. Is I was so angry and resentful. I have a notebook, single-spaced, full, that I wrote in detox, which I was in for 6 days. I stayed the extra day because I didn't want to go to rehab falling asleep. About how everyone at my intervention was full of crap.
Oh, really?
How this person's full of it. She can't even upload a podcast. He was crying because he's an alcoholic and he knows he's next. This guy, his letter was from 1996. And it really was, by the way.
It's expired.
And, his letter was totally expired. Like. And then after my first rehab, I thought I was getting coined out. And there was a Zoom call with Jeannie, my friend Chappie up in Boston, and Frosty, my agent, my friend Frost, and they said, yeah, great job. Now we think you should go to another rehab. And I lost my mind. I was like, I just did 30 days in rehab and my prize is another rehab. I'm sober. I am sober. And then I flipped the table over and threw a water bottle across the room. Because, you know, I was so sober.
Right.
And so I went to the second, and that's when Frosty said he wasn't going to book me. And this really hit me, too. My buddy Chappie, I go, what's your bottom line? He goes, he's sober a long time. He goes, there's no bottom line. I love my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I don't love my life at all. And so I went to the second rehab, and in the second rehab was where I got more emotionally sober, where I realized when I found out Frosty did my intervention, that effed me up. Like that.
That humbled, he put it together?
That humbled me. I thought it was Skyler. I thought it was Jeannie. I thought it was my assistant. And I had like, are you out of your mind? My assistant? What? And she's so lucky. I mean, and Jeannie, what? Oh, what? And then when I found out it was Frosty, this is the guy, Mike, when you're like 20 years old. You're drinking, smoking weed, and you hug, and you make that crying thing like, bro, we're always going to look out for each other.
Right.
And he brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was crying. He's like, but watching my man cry.
Yeah.
And realizing I thought I was always going to be looking out for him because he's 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And he was looking out for me, and he's saying, I'm not going to book you. Like, these people all can't be lying.
Sure. Then you have to answer.
So, yeah, there was anger and then overwhelming gratitude and realizing these people have loved me for a long time, and every person at my intervention had also tried to have an intervention in the past.
Right.
And then I asked Yaz, my assistant, yesterday how long that was in the works, my intervention, and she said weeks. So I realized if you tried to do one, Frosty tried to do one, Corey tried to do one, Jeannie tried to do one, and that one, that is a year of me using drugs, and everyone I know going, oh, my God. He's going to die. And that's humbling. That's humiliating.
It's humiliating, but as you, I mean, God, how strong do you feel now that
it's
you're climbing out of it?
It's the greatest thing ever happened to me, and which proves I don't know what's good for me.
Mm.
And if I don't know what's good for me, I don't know what's good for you.
Except, by the way, you almost ruined my relationship with Frosty.
Why is that?
Because when you and I had the fight on the air one time. We had a good 20 minute, not really fight, but an argument, and we went back and forth, and then you were trending in Tampa. And Frosty calls me out of the blue, and he's like, hey, buddy, coming up for any Yankee games? I go, don't even try it. I know why you're calling. What? I don't know, Jay. I don't know anything about that. I was like, you liar.
He probably didn't.
He knew. Damn, no. He was, when Twitter first came out, he was all over.
You know what an addict I am? Yeah. I'm smiling because I'm like, I was trending in Tampa? I swear to God, you saw me smile? I was like, ooh. Nobody told. And then I get angry, like, nobody told me I was trending in Tampa.
Is there a screenshot of you?
I would have played the Straz or something. And so what you were saying, Skyler, is what would you saying?
Which thing?
Let me tell you. Jay Moore is here. His friend and opener Skyler is here with us too. Jay has been on the show a bunch of times. Every appearance has been memorable. This
I'm
one
have to have ball cancer next time. Right? Every time I come in here, it's like clearing.
It's going around.
Can I get some? How come I don't have ball cancer? Yeah. What did you say though? Because I said, just so you guys know, I'm going. Like, you want to talk about divine intervention? I'm sitting at my detox, at my intervention on a couch. Here's how they got me in the room. Because you can't just tell an addict, like, hey, we're all going to go to Uncle James' living room. Because an addict, you can't outthink us. We'll be like, nah, you know, go up. F yourselves.
Yeah.
And you just hear, like, a horse in the background as we leave town because we lost our driver's license. So they were all sitting around, and for some reason, I just go, I think it was sooner than 16 minutes, or you probably would know.
It was 60 minutes, I remember.
I go, just so you guys know, I'm going. Because in a split, faster than that finger snap, I realized if they read their consequence letters, I'm going to die a junkie.
Yeah.
Because I'll use at them. I'll use at her. I'll use at him. And that I didn't say it. Like, it just came out of me. It was really weird.
I'm worried that, like, people that I know that have issues, if they invite me to an intervention, I can't be the... I think that I can't fake the emotion. I'm going to be like, you're garbage. I hate having you. I hope I don't get invited to that. Because I'm sure that's part of the deal. Some people.
What would you say? Like, then that's what you say?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, as angry as you are, like, it's a question of, like, how much further you're willing to put up with it. You know, I do want to respond to something you said earlier.
Yeah.
You said with Ralphie, could you have done anything? And Jay's absolutely right. So many people tried. There wasn't, like, ever a moment where people didn't try. So, like, you didn't. There's nothing you did wrong.
I don't feel like I'm the reason he died.
No,
Well, in Hollywood, Hollywood says you are.
What I'm saying is...
His last words were, Mike, come on, Mike, playboy. My heart, Mike.
I feel like there's so many people that were attached to him. that
Ralphie, you son of a bitch.
like there were so many people dependent on him. I didn't depend on him, and he knew that. So if I were to say to him, he'd be like, man, this guy doesn't need me. I'm not opening for him. I'm not. He's not. I'm on his payroll.
But that might have been why it worked.
He might have said, "Hey, if this guy is saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
What I'm asking Skyler though is if that's how Mike would feel towards. That's how somebody would feel towards the addict.
Yeah.
Is that what they would just? Because you've done intervention. Is that what they should say to the addict?
Absolutely.
Like, you make me sick.
Absolutely. Last week we did one on a mutual friend of ours who will, you know, remain nameless.
Emmett Smith. Sorry, M. Emmett Walsh.
Jimmy Fallon. But, you know, when you get there, that's finally your turn to say whatever it is that you feel like. And there are people that literally lose it at intervention. It's like literally can barely talk.
That I think would be me. I'd just be building up all this hatred and anger, and I have a hard time differentiating with the time when I'm supposed to be nice and not. So
I made my own intervention. No one ever did one for me.
Yeah.
But people would leave me voicemails that I felt like were interventions. So I put them in iTunes, and when I was trying to get sober, I made like a best hits of like people going off on me. You missed this gig. I'm breaking up. I just listened to the voicemails.
That's great.
An intervention.
You're the reason great. I lost an Oscar. Yeah. He knows who I'm talking about. They told me at my intervention to get me into the room. They told me for my podcast I was going to be interviewing RZA.
Wait, you can't say they.
Skyler was pretty much the orchestrator. He said I was going to be interviewing RZA and Ghostface Killer from Wu-Tang Clan at my house at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was so disconnected from reality.
Boy, they can't fool you, drug addicts, can they?
I was so high. I was so high. I believed them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know a lot about gangster rap. We're not morning people. It's not like Wu-Tang Clan was coming from a tea time.
Right, yeah.
Or like their operations manual seminar right to the podcast.
You know Ghostface Killer likes to be up with the sun. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yo, dog!
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm sitting there, and my producer's there, and she's wearing perfume, and I was like, that's weird, she's wearing perfume. And then Skyler comes down the stairs into the studio. Then my girlfriend comes downstairs. Then my sister from New Jersey comes downstairs. Then my other sister from New Jersey comes downstairs. Then another friend comes downstairs, and I actually thought, wow, everybody's really excited.
They love the Wu-Tang.
That's what I thought. I was out of my mind. And then I saw the interventionist, and that was a wrap. There was nothing else he could be. He looked like the Turk in like Hard Knocks.
Right.
He was a grimy white boy from Baltimore, and he had like tattoos of pit bulls on his neck.
Oh, boy.
He was wearing sunglasses inside my house, a hoodie. He was bald. He had a swastika tattooed to his head that he was having removed, but not fast enough.
Right.
Not fast.
Just something first.
If I can see the swastika on top of your head from the bottom of my stairs,
yeah, that's a problem.
You have issues currently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This guy was such a mangy dude. When I went to detox, they let him inside and left me out on the porch. That's true.
Yeah,
I'm wearing a United States wrestling sweatsuit. I look like a DuPont. And they're like, all right, thanks for dropping him off. I'm like, keep an eye on him. He's got some stories.
Holy cow. So, I got to tell you first, I'm glad that I really am glad because I remember last time you were here, I really felt I didn't see any of the drugs. I don't know that life, so I didn't pick up.
I did them in your bathroom. Don't worry.
That's fine. But I as I was talking to you, I just genuinely felt emotionally like you were having a really bad time.
I was.
And you were trying to deal with it. And I remember I texted you shortly after that, and I just, because I wanted to make sure you're okay. Like, I was thinking about it, and, you know, I'm like, I can't do anything. We don't see each other but once a year, you know?
Yeah.
But I really was worried about you, so I'm so glad to hear. And you know, this is resonating that everybody knows, you know, this that you've done this, and people are happy for you.
I do know that. And that's like, you know, look, I always felt separate from everybody my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm sitting on the couch with you as kids, and we're watching TV in your living room, and we're sitting on the couch together, I spent that entire time figuring out, how do I connect with Mike, even though we're just sitting on the couch watching TV?
Right.
I always felt separate. Like, you guys had something going on, and I was always on the outside looking in. And if I don't go to, like, my noon meeting, I get four texts from guys going, hey, where are you? I want that my whole life.
Yeah.
my whole life, I like Radiohead, I want you to notice when I'm not around. Yeah. Like, people notice when I'm not around.
Yeah.
Apparently people like me.
All right, now we have to talk about some hard stuff.
All right.
That wasn't even the hard stuff.
Okay.
I am 50 years old now, and I didn't realize that I had bad anxiety until I had a kid, so until my son's 15. That's when I had it my whole life, but I didn't understand what was really happening. My wife's a therapist. If it wasn't for her, I probably would have never figured it out, and God knows what I would have ended up doing. So I have no problem talking about depression and anxiety now because I live with it, and I live fine with it. You were one of the first people that I've ever heard talk about having anxiety. One of my first interviews with you was when you wrote your book and you were talking about not being able to fly on planes and all
panic
that stuff.
Panic attacks. Oh.
I have not, 49 years old, I started having panic attacks from out of nowhere with no panic. I'm the most laid back, everything in my life is perfect kind of guy. And yet they still come on. So there's nothing you can do about it. And if you don't identify and you don't know how to deal with it, it freaks you out. Because it took me a little while to figure out what was going on. So I can kind of relate a little more to people who are living with these things now. And you, it started so young for you, and you had this career at such a young age. How you managed to get as far as you did is amazing to me. And do you now, through rehab or therapy or whatever, do you identify the source of your anxiety? Do you know where it starts? Do you know what's happening? Is there anything?
Well, for me personally, yes, but I do want to put that addendum for anybody listening. Sometimes there is no reason why you have panic. It's just a neurological glitch, and if you go get medication, that could work for you. And if the first medication doesn't work, if you picture the cereal aisle at the grocery store, all the different boxes of cereal, there's more than that assortment of different things you can try. And the biggest block for guys, and for myself, mostly, is we want to be a guy, we want to fix it.
Right.
But we're not psychopharmacologists. So the biggest thing is just saying, I need help.
Yeah.
That's the most manly thing you can say as a guy.
If my wife wasn't a therapist, I don't know that I ever would have said, I don't even know that I would have identified it as a problem as needing help as to something's wrong. You know what I mean? I don't know. If it wasn't for her, I would be in a different situation. Panic attacks, the first time it happened, I was driving down a major street here with my wife. There was a car up ahead, a Walmart truck that was turning, and I said, are they turning or are they jackknife? Just a casual, like, should I go around them or should I? And all of a sudden, this warm feeling came over my body. I couldn't move my legs, and I was like, holy cow, my wife's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, is it your chest? And I go, no, it's not. I couldn't. And she's like, you're having a panic attack. I'm like, why? I'm not even panicky about it. But you don't really. It's not.
Wow.
That's not the case. And now it'll come on. Sometimes it won't happen for a month, and then all of a sudden I'll get hit with one so bad it'll make me throw up. And it's caused by nothing or whatever. I have no abuse. I have no drug history. I have no molestation, except this one chick who made me do stuff to her. She promised me I could play a Happy Days board game, and then she didn't have it. But I've talked about that enough times.
Oh, the old Happy Days switcheroo.
Yeah, yep. She gave me the old.
Been there.
Yeah. And then
the old thumbs up.
Yep.
And then
as a man, you think, I'll talk about this on the air, and everybody will feel empathy for me. But no, on my birthday, they all sent me Happy Days board games.
So, oh, I got the Anson Williams card.
don't potty me.
Oh, so, my God. For me, the cause was my mom was an alcoholic, and she got sober when I was 10. So 0 to 10. My sisters are 6 and 5 years older than me. I lived in New Jersey. My dad worked in Manhattan. So I was kind of alone from 0 to 10.
Yeah.
And then at 10, the groundwork for like, hey, how come people don't want to hang out with me?
Right.
And that explains my behavior. It's probably especially to you. We've been friends for
almost said it.
For 20 years,
yeah,
is that feeling, that insatiability that I've always had. Like, I was born an addict. I've always had that insatiability, like, but we're more. Let's light the fort on fire. Let's burn this thing. And then the woods catch on fire, and the only evidence is your school books. You're like, what, me? All right.
Yeah.
So, for me, it was lack of a mom, and then getting into show business where I was validated overwhelmingly and disproportionately for being selfish.
Right.
For what I say, the way I say it, in the time frame that I've designated, you guys love me, and then I'm out. And that's not the way the real world works. So, but that is the root of my panic and issues and my addiction issues, I'm pretty sure.
Wow, that's a lot of digging to find that out and figure it out.
You sit in rehab and you have nothing to do all day. You don't even have a string in your pajamas or laces in your shoes. Count your toes. Talk to your roommate, Armando. my roommate in rehab. I do a lot of rehab jokes on stage, too. Yeah. My rehab roommate, his name was Armando, and he was a Sardinio, and he did 17 years in jail for murder. He was San Quentin for murder. Oh, I haven't had a roommate in my life.
I'm talking about anxiety.
I made my first $1 million at 22 years old doing jokes. I've never had a roommate, and now there's a nightstand with tissues on it between me and murdering Armando. And in orientation, they're like, lights out is at 11. I'm like, maybe tonight you don't turn the lights out. Ixnay, Urdermay. And so the first night I'm laying there and I hear in the dark, April. Hey, I'm like, oh,
no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
I'm trying to act hard. So I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh. And he goes, he actually said, this is an addict. He goes, it's Armando.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Like they switch out the addicts at 11:02. Beaded fentanyl. Come on in, Alki. I go, what's up? And he goes, just so you know, Vato, when you hear a rubbing noise coming from over here in the dark, I'm not masturbating. I'm rubbing my feet together. That's self-care. It's self-care, me. I'm like, good to know. Just so you know, when you hear a rubbing noise coming from over here in the dark, I'm masturbating.
Oh, that's another thing we have to talk about.
What do you think? Masturbating?
No, you made some ridiculous revelations on the show last time you were here. I don't know if you remember. I don't know what you're...
Probably not.
Can I bring it up? It may be a little embarrassing.
Wait, what's the cause of your embarrassing?
My anxiety?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really feel...
As soon as you said it, I thought, like, oh, I get it. Fear of mortality, because it's related to your kid.
Well, it was when my first son was born, I had this overwhelming anxiety about keeping him alive.
Yeah, like, your dad died early?
My dad is still alive.
Oh, he
is. I have a good relationship with him. Wasn't around when I was a kid, but great relationship now.
Okay.
But I was worried that now I'm in charge of... Also, I forgot to tell you this. I get this job of a lifetime, paying me the most money I ever paid. My wife is pregnant. Everything is great. They fire me 3 months into it. So now I have a kid coming and no job. That might have been the source of my anxiety.
Yeah.
And then when I get this job, and then the kid is born, and now I'm like... How do I know how to take care of a kid? I don't know what to do.
That's a big one.
And I would just worry about that. That's where it was. But then, you know, it's an early parent thing and you get over that stuff. But there was always still a little underlying depression and anxiety in there and that stuff.
It's weird when you get asked to like care for other people's kids.
Yeah.
Like I'm Mr. Moore. Like, is Mr. Moore going to be there? Then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know if that's true because 20 years ago I was punching my clown into a sweat sock. I don't know if I'm the arbiter of safety with your kid who's a maniac. Your sexually ambiguous Puerto Rican kid. Listen, Mr. Moore, why are you so thirsty? Let's take off our pajama tops.
I talked to my wife and I said, we should adopt a kid. And she's like, I don't know. And I go, listen to me. We're in a good shape financially. We both would want to have another kid, but I'm too old, and you know she's not that old. But I go, and I don't want to wipe a kid's ass. I figure we get a kid who's like 5 or 6.
Let's get a 16-year-old Brazilian beach volleyball girl, and I'll wipe her ass.
And my wife said, most of these kids who are in this situation are drug affected or some sort of thing. I go, that's okay. You're a therapist, and I'm real compassionate. We can deal with that. And she said, okay, let me put it to you this way. We adopt this kid, and do you think you can love this kid? I go, eventually, I will definitely love that kid. It'll come with time. See what he gets me for my birthday. And then she says to me the most real thing. She goes, we adopt this kid, and he hurts Juliana, who's my daughter. I go, well, then that kid has to die. And she goes, that's why we don't adopt the kid. Right. And I was like, thank you for putting it in a way that I would understand. That kid has to get his snack snap.
Look, Wang Ching, your mom and I.
All right, so this is the revelation you made last time on the show. I can't not bring this up because we've been talking about it for a year. You brazenly brought up that you not once, but at least twice, visited some sort of male steam room thing.
Oh, yeah.
And in L.A. and did some stuff that you classified as not gay that I thought was the exact definition of gay.
No, I didn't do anything gay. I was just a witness. For the sake of comedy.
Okay. Well, that's what I... Because part of me, I don't know you very well.
Got an erection.
And part... Fully. But part of me was like, maybe this is the source of his anxiety.
No.
But I don't, but I don't know.
Release of anxiety.
But at this time, you also weren't dating Jeannie, so I don't know what your deal is.
I went to a steam room, and I was sitting there, and it's like a two-tiered like steam room. It was like the size of this studio. Yeah. And it's like seats up here and seats here. And I'm sitting up on top because, you know, I'm a daddy. I'm not going to sit down here. Yeah. And I noticed, I'm looking around, and guys are kind of like under their towels, kind of moving
doing
around.
Doing stuff, yeah.
And I'm like, ah, you know, if you live in any metropolis, you see a guy touching himself eventually in a steam room or something.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whatever. And then, like, guys were coming in and sitting right between the other guy's legs that were sitting on the top. And I see this little Filipino guy sit down between this guy's legs. And this guy's punching his clown, like, basically right, like a parrot on this guy's shoulder, like he's in Beretta.
Action!
That's feeding a whole new term. He Beretta'd him.
Feed him grapes. And so then the big guy gets up, and he showers. There's, like, that shower thing, and he's facing out with, like, dumbbells on a diving board here. And then he sits back down, keeps punching his clown. The little guy gets up, showers facing out, sits back down. Then the big guy gets up again, and I go, are you guys kidding me? And but because everything like going on in there was like salacious, when I go, are you guys, everybody like jumps. Yeah. Like, what?
Is there any chance that somebody was in there and was like, hey, well, we're punching the clown and doing the Beretta, and Jay Moore was in there talking to us?
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hot.
I thought you were going to come
no,
here.
No, literally, it was hot in there.
Yeah, literally.
That sounded pretty weird. It sounded pretty weird. It was all like, nobody was talking. It's like 106, 10 degrees and steamy. But it really offended me that these guys couldn't close this deal. It's like straight guys want that their whole lives. Like, where's the place I go where I just go, hey, here it is.
Yeah.
And someone falls on it.
All right, now things are going good.
Did I clear that up for you?
Well, look,
there is the, I have the audio. There is the second visit. Was what I think Mike was talking
about.
Yeah,
that was. You were like,
it's called a bit.
Yeah, well, that was at the time. It was very hard to tell because you were maintaining that you were very broken at that point. So we were like, this is why a whole year of speculation and wondering if this was the source of your. Of
let me
your
hear
problem.
The audience.
You want to hear it?
Yeah,
I can do the bit this weekend.
I went back and I was sitting there and it was like, it was a Friday night.
Right.
It was full piece by piece here?
I was like, okay. I didn't go there for that intention.
Stop it for a second, Gavin.
Talk about,
we're gonna break. We're gonna break
piece
up each
by
segment.
Piece comedically. The punchline in of itself is so I went back.
Yeah, right.
So without an audience,
but you said you actually said in the beginning you were like first time I went and all this stuff happened. And then you were like so I went back and we laughed and then you played. Then you were like. No, I liked it. I went back, and I not like I liked the gay stuff, but you were like, because the first time you were like, I came from wrestling practice, I was tore up, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go see what that's about. And so in our point of view, we're like, are we watching a guy make bold confessions here, or are we watching a guy do a bit? And for a year, we've had to wonder about this. Go
you
ahead.
You want to know what's hilarious about all this? Is the second rehab I went to, they told Frosty that I was gay, which I'm pretty sure is a HIPAA violation. And I'm talking to Frosty about me and my girlfriend going great. And he goes, but can I just say something to Jay? I thought you were gay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, ha-ha. And he goes, no, I'm being serious. And I go, yeah, ha-ha. It took like four, yeah, I'm being serious.
I'm surprised it didn't take 10. That's
I'm weird. Like, what? Like, no. And he goes, no, the place told me that you identified as a gay guy. And I'm like, no. And then he goes, no, it's this is the worst part. He goes, no, it's okay if you are. I go, don't stop saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes it worse. But it, like, out of all the guys.
But you know that that's been a thing that people have said that.
Good.
But I know you don't care.
I could be trending in Tampa again.
But I know you don't care seriously. But that was a speculation that people were like, there's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll work more.
Can I tell you the solid rumor but a rumor that I heard that I don't know what was true or not. I clearly by talking to you today, it probably wasn't.
Lou Reed. What?
You dated somebody. You wanted to guess who?
Yeah.
That you had a secret gay relationship with somebody. This is the absolute truth.
Logan Lynn.
No, I don't know who that is.
He's a musician that was my
Ned Beatty.
Oh, no. Logan Lynn's the one you did the naked stuff for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, which, by the way, what a good hog on you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I went and revisited that yesterday. You got a good
Daddy
piece.
Horse crank.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about this.
I did a video for a musician that's my friend.
Yeah.
A dear friend.
Yeah.
And I get in the shower before I go in the pool in this video at this mansion up in, like, Portland or something.
It was beautiful. It was an outdoor shower.
And I go, who wears their underwear in the shower? And he's like, well, I mean, if you, it's up to you. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just take them off.
Yeah, if I had a crank like yours, I'd take it off, too.
Oh, you ain't lying.
Yeah.
You know, I went and got skin pre-cancerous, like, sun damage, take it off my forehead. Right. And when I went to the dermatologist, the lady looked at my penis and my anus for sun damage.
Oh.
I was like, how does this lady think I'm laying out? Like, I'm having sex with the sun, and I'm a bottom? She looked at my anus, and I'm like, when she looked at my wang, I'm like, oh, I didn't even get to pinch the helmet or anything.
You don't have to. It's got a good lay. Yeah. I'm telling you right. He's in.
What are you identifying as?
A guy who's admiring Jay Moore's penis. There's a video of him, and he's naked in the shower outdoor, and you're like, he's got a good body, he's got this big horse crank on him, and I was like, I get it. But that was not even the gay parts. That was just you. Oh, no, so I know.
Who's the person I was supposed to be having a gay affair
with? I feel like he's laughing hysterically now, and the next year he's going
to
be
cover.
Like, yeah, so I was gay.
No.
The rumor was that you and Nick Swardson had an affair.
Nick Swardson.
I could do better than that. Yeah.
The friends.
Listen, a lot of people are friends with him, but a couple of times people brought that up. I'm like, I don't know. I've never met Nick.
That would be very interesting if true, but no.
Yeah. Didn't he hear it? Did he move to
Florida? In the Keys.
Okay.
He's out of range, yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't know any of this stuff. Oh, I'm going based on what you talked about last time in the show and what you've been through.
I mentioning Nick Swardson.
You did not, man. I'm telling you, I've heard
my
that.
Heterosexual track record speaks for itself.
Who, but that's the thing. That would be a surprise to me if
me
found
also.
That was true. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Although,
I was gay once when I was 10.
With who?
Eddie Collins. And he is now the chief.
Get Eddie Collins on the phone. No,
I changed his name a little bit.
Yeah.
He is now the chief of police in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
So I drive as fast as I want to New Jersey.
Yeah.
I rent a car with three wheels. I don't even put the headlights on at night. I got a family of Haitians zip-tied in the trunk. I got a minor next to me smoking bud. I'm throwing Molotov cocktails at the sunroof like I'm playing Mario Kart. What, are they going to pull me over? I'm going to go get Chief Collins.
Get Collins.
He's going to go, let him go. Don't ask him any questions. It's not who you know. It's who you blow after all.
Tell him it's old horse crank Moore, and I'm driving through
town. Tell him the password is still Snow Leopard.
I just love that your last year of using was so crazy. I know you really well, and I didn't know about this video because there were so many other things also going on.
Yeah, but this the video wasn't.
That sounds like you're lumping them all into. No.
Just so many crazy things. No. Just crazy things.
How amazing it is to me that. Imagine somebody, you go to do a radio interview, Skyler.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, there's this rumor you're gay with.
Finesse Mitchell.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
He's way hotter than Nick Swardson.
Upgrade.
Nick Swardson looks like his own South Park drawing. So, imagine, you'd be in heaven.
That's crazy.
Can I tell you what makes me so happy? Is that you're killing me today, making me laugh. Last time I feel bad because I enjoyed talking to you. It was interesting, but I felt bad for you.
But just so you know, I had a great time talking to you.
Yes, but now I'm laughing and I'm happy that you're happy. But one of my favorite interviews I've ever heard in my life on the radio, I'm a big radio fan, was you were on Opie and Anthony one of the last times they were together. And you were, I love your impressions, but the impressions of people that you were doing Chris Penn. From Chris Penn and Reservoir Dogs, and then Harvey Keitel from Bad Lieutenant. Like those are the and I thought this guy's.
I don't care how mad you are at me. That's not half as mad as Daddy's gonna be at us. Let's move some cars. It looks like Sam's hot car lot out there.
People don't
know
what
the hell for that lump of crap's working for LAPD,
Joe. I don't know what you think you know, but you're wrong. He's a good kid. He got shot in the gut. It's my fault he got shot in the gut. You pull that trigger, you die next. I repeat, you blow that man, you get blown next.
Oh, my God.
It sounds like he always just burnt his tongue.
Yeah.
He just ate something really hot.
Dude, that is one of the most brilliant things ever. I love
it. You can tell you started the Chicago fires. That doesn't necessarily make it true. That guy is going to decide out of the freaking blue to rip us up. Why don't you tell me what really happened? What the hell for?
That is wonderful. That was
Vanessa
one of
my... Mitchell. No, but that says something.
As Pesci would say in Raging Bull, you put you with them.
Yeah.
That means something. You could have said anybody. You said Vanessa Mitchell.
Wait, do what you talked about yesterday, Kermit.
Oh, I'm on the plane. I was thinking, I need to... I saw on the plane, it said, like, how we got to Sesame Street, one of the movies available.
Right.
And I was like, I do a great Kermit the Frog. I got to figure out how to do it on stage more. And I was like, I'm going to do Kermit the Frog if he was Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. Funny how. Like, funny how. I amuse you like I'm a clown. Like, I'm here to amuse you. How do I amuse you? He's a big boy, Anthony. He knows what he's doing. Kermit the Frog and Ernie are the same voice.
Very similar.
Hi, old Kermit the Frog here for Sesame Street News. And here I am at the house of the three little pigs. Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert. A little higher.
Same voice. Hey,
Bert. Yeah.
I love Bert.
That's funny. Bert.
He's my favorite. Who's your favorite Muppet?
I mean, I don't know.
Including the Muppet Show.
There's I don't like the regulars. I don't like Kermit.
Anybody
chime the band.
In?
The band. I like the band.
Yeah. Who do you like in the band?
There's that crazy girl with the big lips.
Janice.
Yeah. I love it that you know all the
My
names.
Assistant was Janice for Halloween, and she was awesome. She had orange skin.
Can you do that?
Yeah, no, she's canceled now.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
What, am I going to get Me Too'd? I just got out of rehab. Are you going to cancel my birthday next? Hashtag Me Too. Hashtag Me Too. I'm old school, Mike. That's a pound sign.
Yeah,
so it these is girls a are going sign. Online and they're typing pound me too. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to help out. Hail.
Jay Moore is here. Jay Moore is going to be at Side Splitters tonight through Saturday, I assume.
Yeah.
Two shows on Saturday. I'm going to come out there and see it. I haven't seen you do stand up in a long time.
Oh, Mikey Mike.
Listen,
get ready for excellence.
Old school.
Everybody's going to get pregnant. Skylar Stone and Finesse Mitchell are going to have a boy, baby. Yeah, Skylar's an abortion from a butt bottle. Yeah.
He is
one Finesse of, meow meow.
The guy who, there was one time, David Wells used to play for the Yankees, lives here, he's a friend of mine. He has a birthday party, and one of the guys comes in from the China Club in New York. He's an ex-cop who does security there. And he's like, yeah, I do the VIP security. I go, who's this? This is, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I go, who's the celebrity that's the craziest, you know, like that? He goes, oh, by far, Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
And at that time, I'm like, Tracy Morgan from Saturday Night Live? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, on stuff that you'd never think of.
Yeah.
Then a couple weeks later, he's on my show for the first time. Still, to this day, the most insane. I hear him from down the hall. The minute he comes in the building, I hear him down the hall.
Who else remembers finger banging Portuguese girls on the handball course? You know what I'm talking about, Campbell. Head in your armpits, smelling your own funk.
We had these three white girls in the studio that were doing something, and those girls are scarred for life. Scarred for life. He was saying things to them that I was embarrassed about.
I mean, discharge.
Yeah. it was great.
It is like I've been watching 30 Rock, like binge watching.
Yeah.
It. And they so perfectly have written him.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. Anyway, go see Jay Moore. He's going to be at Sidesplitters. Go to sidesplitterscomedy.com. You can buy your tickets, pick your seats, do all that stuff. Don't wait till go to the day of the show. Things are selling out. People are wanting to see live stuff. And Jay is
and if you're gay,
a big draw. If you're gay, but
you
look
got a shot
somewhere between
That's
Nick
right.
Swartzen and Finesse Mitchell, you got a shot
Finesse
at both
Swartzen.
Of these guys. Yeah.
Nick Mitchell is.
I don't know how much I believe. Me and you go to a steam room tonight and let me see how far you go. Then I'll be a judge.
Sure.
I'm kidding.
I would
totally
love to go
kidding.
To is there a steam room around?
I have no idea. Listen to me. If there's a steam room, it's in Ybor City. Don't go there. Yeah. Don't do that.
Get athlete's foot on your member.
I have two things I want to know. One is, what are you working on now that things are good for you? Obviously, you're
doing
the road.
I'm on the road solid through May. Because I get my son every other week, so
right.
The weeks I don't have my son, I'm on the road.
Awesome. How old's your son?
He's 10. That's he turned great. 10 when I was in rehab. That was a kick in the nuts, buddy.
But you know what now? Now he's 10. He's got his whole life with you and
it's
good
amazing.
Shape.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's my best friend.
That's
it's hilarious.
The thing. Yeah. Having a son, I understand how that goes.
It's great. They just become like your best friends, and it's kind of like having a slave in your house, too.
Can I prepare you for something so you don't spiral into drugs again? Okay. I'm prepared. My son's 15. Coolest kid in town. There comes a period between 14 and, from what I understand, 18, where they ain't your best friend anymore. Still love you. Still hang out. Maybe we'll hang out with you every once in a while. But it's a real kick in the ass when you're like, so are we going out? Well, my friends, and I got football practice.
I'll just adopt the one you turned down.
right. Doing the road, then what?
I'm going to be on the TV show The Cleaning Lady on Fox. It's not out yet. It's basically like a female Ray Donovan.
Okay.
I play a corrupt councilman. Oh. I was supposed to die on the show. They were supposed to, I probably shouldn't say any of this.
So that's never right. Nobody's listening.
Nobody at all.
All right, but it's a good shot for you.
Yeah, it went well. They didn't want to kill me, so
that's a good sign.
People like have me around now. It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. I play a corrupt councilman, and it's amazing, dude.
Good.
Like once, it's doing a program is like having a cheat code for a video game, but it's your life.
Yeah.
Like acceptance is the answer to all my problems today, buddy.
So I have a lot of friends who successfully completed rehab, including Bobby Kelly and a couple of my friends. Do you go now and have to make amends with relationships? Do you still have people you have to see?
I got one outstanding amends.
Do you want to say who that is or no?
Yeah, it was my landlord in Malibu. I got bounced while I was in rehab. We text, we're friendly, and I realized the way the program works is like, say, I'm resentful towards him for evicting me. And then I go, but what was my part? It affected my ego, my self-esteem, my ambition, my personal relations, my sex relations. So then I go, well, what was my part in it? My part in it was I turned an Airbnb for a month into a 3-year residence.
Right.
So that's not open-ended. It's not in perpetuity. They can do whatever they want because you're renting. That comes with the territory. So that's my entitlement, my defect of character, is I feel entitled. I want different rules for you than for me.
Yeah.
But I also realized I turned their best-case scenario, we love this guy, and he's going to even rent in the wintertime, to their personal nightmare. We love this guy. How do we get rid of him?
Yeah.
So I now owe him an apology. So instead of being resentful, I can't wait to be face-to-face with this guy and his mom and his sister and say, I'm really sorry, and then I'm a free man.
Well,
you know, I can go anywhere in the world, and there's no one I'll see where I'll feel that knot in my stomach like, ugh.
It's so interesting. The last time you left here, we had a great hour. We had a great interview, and you left here, and I was like, man, I really genuinely like him. I hope things are okay for him. And now I'm like, I genuinely like him even more, and I think that he's going to be great. I think that's awesome.
Oh, buddy. I'm doing it the right way, too.
Good for you.
I don't want to go back to that old way of living. All you do is pill mass. How many do I've saved, since March 11th, I've saved $22,000 on Adderall.
Wow.
And that's with a prescription also that I called some doctor into getting me.
Jeez.
What would Michael Douglas say about that?
Blue pills, sneeze all over the shirt. It's embarrassing on stage.
Yeah, I did a show with him and I was high. Well, I was high every moment of every day. And I wiped my nose and there was blue boogers on my shirt.
And he was just on, he's on stage in Los Angeles. He's like, blue Adderall. And the crowd's like, ugh.
Yeah, I really was connected to reality.
Yeah. People who knew were like, oh, and people who didn't were like, oh, he's so funny, blue boogers.
Yikes.
Well, listen, I'm glad things are going good for you.
It's great. Tell Bobby I said hi. I loved him on Joey Diaz's podcast.
He's the best. He's my number one best friend. And
good.
We do a podcast together.
I heard.
And it's fun.
I'd love to come on.
I'd love to have you on.
Yeah.
Skyler, great to meet you.
You as well.
Thanks for helping straighten this guy out.
Absolutely.
And
he helps me too.
I'm going to come by and see you this weekend.
All right, I can't wait.
I think it's great.
I know the headliner. I'll take care of you.
Yeah.